When I first got the email from you, I went to my principal and I said, I'm not an expert in anything, so I don't know what to tell them. But I began to tell him some of the things I've shared, and he said, well, you've got your answer. Just tell them about saying yes. And I said, well, okay, I'm not an expert in anything, but then I decided maybe I am, because I'm an expert in knowing how faithful God is.
Welcome to the BJU Press Teacher Edition Podcast, where Christian educators are encouraged and inspired as we bring you interviews, practical ideas, strategies, and answer your questions about teaching in today's culture. And here's your host, Jenny Copeland.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for making the Teacher Edition podcast part of your day. We have another very practical topic for you today. If you have friends who aren't listening in, please share this podcast with them as well. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We are Teacher Edition Podcast on Facebook. And of course, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Teacher Edition Pod. Again, that is Teacher Edition Pod. We would love it if you would take a minute and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help out the show. And lastly, I want to invite you to go to our website, teachereditionpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to our emails, and you can also submit your questions and stories. These can be funny stories. They can be blessings from your classroom. You might have a question or a fun story to share, and you just aren't sure if you should submit it. So I'm here to tell you, submit it, because we look forward to receiving those and sharing them. And no doubt, if you have that question, so does someone else. So we look forward to receiving those and sharing them on the show just after our interviews. Well, speaking of interviews, we are excited to have Laurel Santos with us today. She has a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in education, and she has been involved in education for over 40 years. She has taught all subjects in grades 5 to 7, as well as many subjects in the higher grades as well. One of her favorites being middle school English language arts. I think that's so interesting. She has also served in administration in two different Christian schools, and she currently serves as vice principal, registrar, and academic dean. We know how that goes when you're working in a Christian school at Umpqua Valley Christian School. So, Laurel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
So when I reached out to Laurel and we started talking about topics, she right away said she wanted to talk about the importance of saying yes. That sounded like such an intriguing topic to me. So, Laurel, let's start there. Why did you choose this topic? Why yes?
Because that's how I see my life. My life is blessed because I learned to say yes. A long, long time ago, I learned to say yes to God's direction. And it may sound kind of simple and kind of duh, of course, you're supposed to say yes to God. But I don't think it was always either of those. I don't think it was always a simple thing. And I don't think it was always duh, because I think that it's easy to think it is, but not follow through with it. I don't think I'm special, and I don't think I'm an expert, but I know I'm blessed. I frequently tell people I am a spoiled daughter of the King. I think that too often we lose sight of the blessings. We feel burdened by the requests. We hesitate out of fear of saying yes, taking the leap, enjoying the opportunity. And so before I jumped into my story, I wanted to chat a little bit about maybe why we say no as a default. The first one that came to my mind was fear of the unknown. Fear of the what ifs. This one for me leads back to pride, because I'm afraid that jumping into an opportunity that I don't already feel comfortable with may lead to failure, and it may show someone the real me that isn't always on top of things, and that's where the pride comes in. Because the real me isn't always on top of it, and the real me doesn't always jump in and say, oh yeah, let's do this. But I've learned to overcome some of that fear, and it's opened doors for me and allowed me blessings beyond compare over the years. A second thing that I consider was fatigue, either real or imagined. The fatigue may be very real. We may need to say no. We may need physically just to stop. Sometimes I tell myself how tired I am to the point, however, that I'll just default to that. Somebody says, can you do it? And I go, oh, no, I'm tired. And over the years, the phrase I'm just exhausted to me has moved from being the, oh, I'm just really past the point of being able to function, to now it's the default answer. It's the first thing. It's where you start with, well, I'm exhausted. Well, where do you go from there? And I know that's a rabbit trail, but I think that sometimes it's used as an excuse, or at least in my experience, a bid for attention. Well, I'm so exhausted, so everybody needs to kind of feel sorry for me. And I think sometimes we can work around that.
When it's real, stop. Say no. But when it's not real, move beyond it. I think the mental attitude of I'm exhausted often comes from a place of fear. One of those fears is if I say yes, they may want me to do something else. And by saying no, I'm just too exhausted, then maybe they won't come back to me for that one and I don't have to go any further. Third area that I looked at was preference. And I think this is where the selfishness and the pride really came in. Maybe I'd just rather do my own thing. It's definitely not what Christ taught, but it's a very human response of, I don't want to do that. It's all about me and it's what I want. And none of that leads us to yes. And so you may be thinking, why in the world are you saying that? But I was thinking about, well, why not say yes? And so looking at, okay, well, how can we get beyond some of that into being willing to say yes? Because that's really what I wanted to do today. I wanted to celebrate the joy of saying yes. I do have to be real, however, and say that yes hasn't always been my default. Let's start where my journey began, in Christian education with my first really big yes.
Okay, so this sounds really intriguing. So tell us how this happened.
Well, I graduated from college in December of 1980, a long, long time ago, when formal Christian education was just kind of getting off the ground in the area where I lived. There wasn't a Christian school anywhere near me when I was growing up. I knew nothing about it. I went through a secular university. I got through secular schools all along. And as I graduated, I began applying for schools in different parts of the secular system there where I was. And there was just nothing opening up. Friend said, oh, why don't you try for this little Christian school about 45 minutes away from where I live? And I kind of went into it with, okay, I'll go there for a year. I pictured it like Sunday school. And I was going to do that for a year, and then I was going to get a real job. And so I went for the first interview, and there were two openings, sixth grade and seventh grade. And I had a degree in elementary education, and so I thought, okay, sixth grade. And I went into the second interview with the pastor and administrator, and sat there kind of stunned, mouth open, because the pastor said, so what position are you looking at her for? And the administrator said, seventh grade. And I thought, oh, no, not me, not seventh grade. But I said yes, primarily because I wanted a job. And that was the only one that was opening up. And I'd like to say, oh, yeah, God called me. No, I just wanted a job. And so I can't be all spiritual about why I said yes there. But I still took it thinking 1 year. And then I fell in love with seventh grade. And I fell in love with Christian education. And second only to my yes to salvation, it's been the biggest yes in my life, probably overall. Over 40 years later, I'm so glad I did. I still love seventh grade, and I still love Christian education. I do believe that those choices were God-directed, even though I don't think I was necessarily following what God wanted me to do. I was just getting a job. I'd like to say differently, but my reality is I'm so glad, though, that along the way, God taught me much about listening rather than just doing what I wanted to do. I'm glad I learned the joy of saying yes when he opened the door rather than playing it safe, as I saw it, and saying no.
So what do you think that saying yes to that opportunity taught you?
I think the biggest lesson out of that was not to assume that I knew best for myself. Listening to the counsel through the pastor and the administrator helped me realize that my vision for teaching was very limited. I thought I had to be confident about what I was teaching before I ever went into it. Over the years, I've realized some of the best lessons I've learned are those that I learned while participating and preparing in teaching. The times I've learned to laugh at myself because the students were going to, whether I did or not. And
that's
just right. To recognize it's funny, go ahead and laugh and let them enjoy it too. Without necessarily turning it into foolishness that then it became ridicule, maintaining that, okay, it's funny, we can enjoy being together and loving it along the way. My first teaching assignment was in Florence, Alabama. The school was relatively small, but we were blessed to have a really strong athletic program. And a group of middle school girls wanted to have a cheerleading squad. The high school girls had a good squad, and the middle school wanted theirs. And in order to do that, they had to have an advisor. So they came to me and said, you know, will you be our advisor? Well, I was single, so travel wasn't such a big deal. In those years, you traveled all over the state in order to compete because we only competed against Christian schools. In order to do that, you had to go sometimes 2 or 3 hours one way just to get there. And so I said, well, I don't know a thing about it. I've marched in the marching band in high school. I can be loud. I could yell with the best of them. But if they wanted me to teach them cheerleading skills, that just wasn't happening. So I basically told them that. I said, if you need somebody to teach you skills, it's not me. But if you need somebody to love you and travel with you, I can do that. So for 6 years, I followed those girls all over the state. I didn't learn much about it, although they tried to teach me some of the moves. But what I did learn was flexibility. I learned how to be mama. I learned to be tough when I needed to be. And I learned that yes, in that situation, created years of memories and sweet relationships, some that I still have been maintaining all these many years later. And some of that flexibility took me to the next step in my adventure.
Okay, so I sense we can't stop there. I hear there's more to the story. So where did that lead you?
Well, one of the biggest moves for me, because it was the first one of significance away from my childhood home, was to leave that little Christian school in Alabama and move to Greenville, South Carolina, to study and work at Bob Jones University Press. I worked in the press when they were over on the corner of that little street where the building doesn't exist anymore. But it was significant because I was completely happy teaching. Working at the press took skills that I knew I didn't have, but those were things that I needed to learn how to do. And some of those skills have then helped me stay in the game through these many years. But I knew God was calling me back into the classroom as a student. And so this was the avenue. And I said yes. And I learned skills that have helped me all these many years later. More importantly, I learned how completely capable God is of meeting my needs. And saying yes allowed me to gain the education that I needed and make lifelong friends. That TA position also moved me into living arrangements that felt really awkward at first. I was 30 years old, back in college, and a little nervous about that because I've got, you know, 20 and 23-year-old roommates. There was an apartment with 5 other TAs. And so here I was, mama in the group again. Only these are adults. They weren't, you know, middle school kids. But I was found myself teaching grown women how to wash dishes, how to do laundry. So was it a yes that helped me grow spiritually? Absolutely. But it was also a yes that helped me realize that we're just never too old to learn. God often calls us to assist others in that process, and that was a good lesson for me. Just before I graduated there, God opened a door for me to serve in a Christian school in Maryland. The school was located near a military base, and we had a large number of military families who enrolled their children there. The school was much larger than the one where I started out, but the needs were the same. Help start the middle school, leading towards a high school program, teach preteens and teenagers, train younger teachers. I had the opportunity to teach English for grades 5 through 12, as well as a few other subjects over my years there. You'd learn to do a lot in small Christian schools.
That's right.
It was the first opportunity that I had to serve in administration. I was the department head for the high school for several years, so I was able to assist the director in a variety of ways. And along the way, each of those took a yes, because each step, moving to Maryland, teaching larger classes, helping establish a much larger program, required big asks.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of yeses and how the Lord is using each of those through your story. You mentioned that your next big yes came as a result of a request at the school. So what happened there?
Well, after serving at the school in Maryland for 9 years, I was approached by the school director with the idea of helping establish a satellite school in Korea. And what we were planning to do was hire a couple of teachers, set up a remote classroom, use our curriculum, and then run the program through our school in Maryland. So our teachers would be on the ground in Korea, but the school would be like one of our satellite classrooms.
Wow.
I was excited about the program, but as it began to develop, the director came to me and said, I think I'm going to send you to Korea to teach for a year. And I said, oh, no, you're not. Because that was never part of the deal. It was just help you set this up. I was teaching English, which I love. I was part of the admin team. I was generally loving life. The move was not on my radar. My first reaction was, and it took me a few days and a lot of conversation with God to listen to the why not that was going on in my mind. I didn't have a good reason why not. There was a lot of back and forth between me and God and between me and the administrator. And I finally said, okay. And wow, what blessing. I've traveled throughout much of Asia. The travel bug has never gone away. It drives my husband crazy. I had the privilege of being involved with a missionary couple in their work in Seoul. I met so many Korean Christians, and I was challenged because their faith was lived out so strongly that I was
challenged to question my own walk and commitment as I worked alongside them. I saw the classroom through a different lens. I learned to be more willing to step into the unknown. That yes opened doors to lifelong loves. I mentioned the love of travel, but different cultural things. I learned to enjoy learning about new cultures and just experiencing what was going on around me. A couple of years later, that same administrator in Maryland, who was a good friend by this time, became ill. And so the pastor and administrator asked if I would return to the school and help run the school while he had some medical procedures going on and then had some time to recover. And that was an easy yes, because first of all, I could support a friend. I could move back into a familiar neighborhood. I could help support a school that I already loved. Many of the same students were still there. So it was easy to say yes and go back. But it also helped me develop some leadership skills. Right? It helped me learn more about the admin side of schools. Throughout the years since then, I bounced back and forth between teaching and admin, sometimes doing both at the same time. But those years helped me prepare for those transitions. It helped me to see a different way of looking at things. I became a better teacher. I think I was better able to see the whole pie, the school, rather than just my slice of the pie in my classroom. Those skills have helped me tremendously as God has led me through a series of changes over the years.
Okay, you mentioned the phrase, the whole pie. So what do you mean about seeing the whole pie, and how has that been helpful in your journey?
Too often in a classroom, a teacher focuses on the needs in front of them. And I'm guessing that's true in most vocations, but I know it's true in education. I would say the classroom needs, my students, my curriculum, my schedule. And I would work diligently to make whatever had to happen happen so that I could produce what I thought was best for that group of students. It might be, I need these items in my classroom, or I want to decorate in this way, or I want to move things around. Sometimes it was, I don't like the schedule because this happens in a bad time of day for these students. So sometimes it was advocating for them in that way. And that was my piece of the pie. But when I moved into administration, I had to learn to look at how my classroom functions in relation to all the other classrooms on campus. I had to step outside of what's best for my students to what's best for all of the students. And so looking at the whole pie, the whole school, helped me be able to see not just what I needed to ask for my classroom, but how I could make my classroom be a better part of the overall school. So it changed the way I would ask. It changed the things I would ask for. It helped me become a better supporter, I think, for all of our students, as well as for other staff members. I wasn't just an advocate for my students. I was an advocate for the school, and they kind of all became mine. My years in Maryland also helped me, because I then transitioned into teaching full-time again while also serving the pastor's wife, which was a whole new role for me. I know another huge yes, since I really didn't think I could do that either. But again, saying yes to God's leading led to joy and fulfillment. In the summer of 2001, I moved from Maryland to New York. I married. I took a position at another very small Christian school, teaching middle and high school English. And I spent 12 years there, so blessed. Primarily because I finally learned that saying yes to God's leading was the only way to go. My pastor husband encouraged me to step out and venture into some things that I had not been confident in before. It was there that I was first asked to speak to a ladies' conference. It was also there that I first taught a ladies' Sunday school class. Each of those involved a time of wanting to say no before going with yes, as I felt God directing. God continued to develop skills in me that allowed me to take on those roles. Most importantly, he continued to teach me how much joy I could experience by leaning on him and listening to his call. After 11 years in upstate New York, God called my husband home to heaven. That process was heartbreaking and yet very, very joy-filled. I'd learned and I had grown, and I was at a place in life where I could readily say yes to God's calling because I was 100% confident he always knows best. And some of you are probably thinking, well, what took you so long? And at the age of 20, I would probably have said that too. Well, what do you mean? I know that. I would challenge you, though, that I would have said it not knowing what it, how to live it out. I would have said it from a place of arrogance and ignorance. And I hope today what I say is more from a place of not confidence in me, but confidence in having watched God develop over the years, the knowledge that he's got this and it doesn't matter really whether I say yes or not, but it doesn't matter my individual feelings on it because God's in control. It took me a few years, but it's very deeply embedded in me today. And that's why I'm sitting here today. When you emailed me, Jenny, about participating in this, I wanted to say yes, which is different than, okay, I said yes because I had to, but I really wanted to. I wanted to be a part of what's happening with BJU. I wanted to be a part of Christian education's future because I feel like I am 100% committed to it, and yet I know where the next yes is taking me. So I wanted to say yes, but most of all, I wanted to share my story, not because you need to hear it, but because I need to share it. I've said for years, if I ever was going to write my story, I'd call it I Stand Amazed, because I stand amazed at all that God's done in my life, and that's where this kind of came from. When I first got the email from you, I went to my principal and I said, this is what's going on, and I'm not an expert in anything, so I don't know what to tell them. But I began to tell him some of the things I've shared with you today, and he said, well, you've got your answer. Just tell them about saying yes. And I said, well, okay, I'm not an expert in anything, but then I decided maybe I am, because I'm an expert in knowing how faithful God is. I'm an expert in knowing how easy it is to say amen, but then to just move on through the day without really letting it affect how I live. Just to kind of, as I mentioned earlier, I'm so tired, and then, you know, get up and just kind of get out of something because of it, instead of committing to it, going forward to it, and recognizing God's got the grace and the strength to take me through it. So here I am to share what I believe, why I believe saying yes is so vital, to share why I know I'm blessed because of yes. I mentioned I lived in upstate New York for 11 years before my late husband passed. The yes on that one was soul shattering. God did not need me to say yes to Alan's death. He was in charge of Alan's life and knew exactly when it needed to end here on earth. But I needed to submit, and I needed to submit to God's will in our lives. So I remember very clearly knowing it was coming and, you know, doing all the things that the wife does and support and taking care of. And then finally one day as I drove home from a very lengthy hospital stay, pulling over on the side of the road and saying, okay, God, lifting both hands and saying, here he is, he's yours, and this is my yes. Yes to your taking him, and yes to knowing that you'll take me all the way through it. I remained in that area for another year. That was what I wanted to do. I loved it there. I was very comfortable there. I enjoyed the school. But bigger than that, I had made a commitment that this was in July, and I'd made a commitment to the school. I wanted to honor it. So I said, okay, yes, I'll stay here. And I believe, and I still believe, that by doing what God called me to do and honoring my commitment, I put myself in a position of being able to ask for needs. I prayed so many times, not for God to give me what I needed, but rather just to show me what he wanted from me. I found that it was so easy to think, I don't have the money for that. And then I had to realize, I don't have the money for all these things, but God has everything I need. And so I went from being pastor's wife and many of my financial needs met in that right way to all on my own and going to about a third of my salary and saying, okay, God, I've still got these bills and I'll do whatever you want me to do. You show me and I'll work. So sometimes I would type line after line after line of names and addresses for a nickel a line after a day's teaching. And I would say, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. Thank you for showing me, Lord, how you're going to meet my needs. In honoring my commitment, in following God's leadings, I saw God abundantly and unexpectedly in so many ways meet needs and give beyond the basics. Sometimes I would get cash gifts from unexpected sources. Sometimes he would give me extra work that brought in resources. Sometimes he would show me how to do without what I thought was essential. And that might have been the most valuable lesson I learned that year. But as I moved through the year, I knew I couldn't continue to stay there as I began to pray. And God opened a door at a Christian school in Hawaii. And people were laughing, like, yes, you know, suffering for Jesus, going to Hawaii.
That's right.
It wasn't what I wanted to do, but it seemed to be the way God was leading. So, okay, yes, Lord. And I moved from where I was there in the teaching role into a new role. I moved into academic counseling and working with students who were struggling learners. And I was just overwhelmed with God's goodness. A part of me, a big part, wanted to say no. But saying yes brought me to a beautiful place, and it taught me new skills that I didn't think I necessarily needed.
and yet they have become a huge part of what I am now. After 2 years there, which was 3 years into widowhood, God began stirring within me a renewed desire for companionship. It's more fun to look at God's creation and say, wow, when you got somebody to turn around and say, wow, too. So the yes on that one was huge. It meant stepping out of my comfort zone. It meant asking what, where, how, who? My age, my beliefs, my location were all factors in meeting someone. But my God is so much bigger than those concerns. So he directed. I said yes. A year later, I married one of the most precious men I've ever known. It meant another big leap, Hawaii to Oregon, and it meant yet another career shift. I didn't ever intend to go back in the classroom, but that's where I found myself. And again, absolutely loving it. I taught for a few years, transitioned back into part-time administration, and then about 4 years ago into full-time administration. And that's where those skills that I mentioned learning in Hawaii came into play. I now daily have the privilege of counseling young people academically, those who struggle and those who excel, and that is just a perfect situation. I'm at the point of the next yes, and I found it to be a struggle. I might be thinking, but you said, or you might be thinking, but you said. I said I've learned. I didn't say I quit being human. The yes this time is knowing that it's time to retire from full-time service and step away from education that I love so much. But the yes is not knowing what's next. It's just knowing that God knows. And while it took a little while, I'm there and I'm so excited. Part of me thinks, I know what's coming, but the exciting part is that I don't know. And I'm good with that. So you might ask, why? Why did I think this was worth sharing? Well, go back to my response when I was asked to participate. I wanted to say yes. I don't think I'm an expert, but I've learned how blessings come. And I think I'm one of a force that has helped carry Christian education forward. There are many, many experts out there who will speak out about their field of expertise, and I don't have one. But I know how to say yes, and I know how to be the worker behind the scenes. And I think God needs us to.
Wow, Laurel. That is an incredible story. Just, you have an incredible story of God leading in your life and filling your path with blessing as you are willing to say yes. We heard that so many times in that story. And it's easy to say yes as we're retelling the story, but just sitting here, I was thinking about the agony behind some of those yeses and the uncertainty, and yet you chose that. You know, I was also thinking as you were talking, this challenge to say yes has a much broader application. You know, even as we're working with families and students and coworkers, it's so important that we make it a point to say yes as much as possible. That being said, we all know it's impossible to say yes all the time to every idea, every request. But just that mindset of saying yes as much as possible can really transform our thinking and our interactions, and really, honestly, can bring ideas and experiences and even interactions that might not have been there otherwise. So as we wrap up today, Laurel, I would love it if you could leave us with a practical piece of advice. We've heard your story, and we all as listeners are really projecting your experiences onto our own, and maybe even what you're going through now. We're all at different phases in our ministry experience in education. If you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice when it comes to saying yes, what would it be?
That's a tough question, but I think the biggest piece out of it would be that while I'm encouraging you to be willing to say yes, we have to also realize that sometimes God's answer is no, and ours needs to be no also. I've often told students that if it's okay with God, it's legal and it's ethical, do it. Enjoy, grow, learn, but part of that learning is learning when it, whatever it is just not best. So say no.
That's great. Well, I think we have our advice. We have our takeaways from this episode for sure. We need to go say yes. Laurel, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. You have definitely been a blessing to me, and I know to our listeners as well.
Thank you.
And listeners, let's go look for ways to say yes today. Yes to the Lord's leading in our lives, and yes to those we serve with and those we minister to. We just never know how it may change a life. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were challenged and encouraged as I certainly was. Remember to go to teacheredition.com to submit questions for upcoming episodes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Now, it's time to get back to your day, but it's not just any day. Every day in the classroom is your day to impact and inspire through God's power and through His grace working in you. Now, go say yes.